I got up probably 5 o'clock this morning, and the Lord laid a devotion on my heart a few weeks ago, and I come back to my mind, and honestly, I worked at least a couple hours on that this morning. And I mean, I was about to get in the third heaven working on it. And then I walked in here, and the Holy Ghost said, "Time out, you're not doing that one today." And I hate those kind of days. But a few weeks back, while sitting in my study praying and listening over and over, I finally come to the conclusion that I need to social distance Fox News. They were tormenting me. And so I took a break, but as many of you know, over these past several weeks, we've constantly heard this statement, essential, essential. Only jobs that are essential, like your job, may not be essential. Well, it may not be essential to everybody else, but it's quite essential to you, isn't it? And maybe it's not a great earning job, but it's essential to your character, and it's essential to your integrity, and it's essential to who you are. It's your craft, it's your ability, it's your gift. And more I heard that, I thought, wow, can't you choose another word besides telling me I'm not essential? I don't know what Georgia did. I really don't. I should, and I've probably been told whether or not your governor and your government told you the churches absolutely could not meet. I don't know that. I lost track of all the states. I live in the state of Florida. Our governor never closed the churches, although our church and others took the advice and wisdom of others and did close the services. I think that was a very wise thing to do. Please understand, I'm a preacher, not a scientist. I'm a preacher, not a medical expert. So I have no clue. I just know this. When my cardiologist told me, you got one of two choices: exercise 3 times a week, wear compression socks when you climb on those airplanes, and drink a gallon of water. I'm having a time with that gallon of water, but I'm doing it every day. And he said, you can do one of two things. You can do that, or you can get a pacemaker. And so I've been doing it. I've been doing absolutely wonderful. I praise the Lord for it. Didn't know water was medicine, but I should have read my Bible and I'd have found out it was. And so I listened to medical experts, and they've studied this. But I do know this. I do know there's one that's a greater physician. I do know the one before the science of understanding things come into existence. He that knows all things already knew. I do understand that. I cannot contradict what was done by our politicians or by our medical field in no way. Neither do I criticize in any way. But I do attack the Hollywood crowd. I do attack those that try to dictate our thinking, and I do attack what they deem most valuable by way of a simple word, essential. And I was studying that day, and I thought about a few things, but I did remember a devotion I did in our Alabama campaign on this verse, and I began to think, what is essential depends on who the person is. And I begin to think, those of us that are born again, those that are saved and those that are not saved, one of the most essential, necessary things in your life, in this world's life, is preaching. And I just wrote that morning in my devotion, preaching is essential. Preaching is essential. I am thankful for the first time in social media life, for I absolutely despise it. I think it's an avenue of gossip. It's an avenue of manipulation. It's an avenue of condemnation towards others. And I know there's a lot of good. I know there is. We're live streaming today. The Lord helped me here in this day and time that even I have been able to fulfill preaching online. So thank the Lord for the day and time we live in. That we were not, they might have shut these bodies down, but they didn't shut this voice down. You might shut me down from going out across the street, but you can't stop me from standing in the doorway and preaching the gospel. I was concerned as churches drifted away. You know, in every congregation, there are more than few that are right on the edge of tipping out. Now, how many of you be honest? I'll be an honest preacher. If I make it to August, I will have completed preaching 40 years. I've just began my 33 year as a missionary. And if I make it there, I will have been preaching 40 years. I raised my children in church. My wife homeschooled them. We've been to so many church meetings. We've been so many times. When you got up and said, "He set me free," I've heard that song 10,000 times. Well, you know, that's kind of exaggerating preaching. A lot of times. Okay? Well, when you sing it this morning, there's just something about being with God's people in a place set aside, a sanctuary for His glory, that the old song don't mean as much online as it does when God's people are singing it out. What time I need to quit? I got to hurry. Now watch for a moment. They begin to tell us what is essential. Well, I sat over there and tears welled up in my eyes and I said, "Oh God, this is better than the balm of Gilead. This is better than any medicine. Lord, this is better than anything might be. This is what we need. It's essential to who I am." Jonah chapter 3 verse 1, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time saying, Arise and go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." What if God thought it necessary to call a man to go to a people and preach to it? Then it must be quite essential on God's list of the essential jobs that we have. So if God thought it essential, should not we think it is essential? Brother Ellis and I I went to the home office, picked up my RV for the summer and went in and we were Zoom calling all our missionaries. And so we Zoom called Romania and they've been locked down. You have to go online, print out a paper, get a barcode, telling them where you're going. And if you're stopped, you better have that paper. And they'll scan that barcode. And if you're not at the grocery store, but you're at the hardware store, you're going to get fined. We contacted Ukraine and we contacted Brazil and we talked to our missionaries by Zoom and was able to see them and pray with them. And as we were doing that, our missionary in Ukraine, he's a Ukrainian man, been with us quite some many times. And he said, "We're not able to go out and we've got to print this paper off." And we began to talk about the prisons. He said, "One thing that is good is happening is we have talked to the prisons. We can't go in yet. But they said the psychologists and the psychiatrists said they're not going back in." And so the government said, "Well, we'll just use you preachers. You do the same thing anyway. You keep them from committing suicide." That's what the head official of Ukraine. "Well, you keep them from committing suicide. You give them hope. You do what them other folks are trying to do, and we don't have to pay you." Hallelujah. What politician wouldn't love that one? But here's the world saying, "You're essential. Essential." Now I want you to listen for just a moment, and I'll preach fast. I looked up this word essential, and it comes from a Greek word, ousia, which is a word for the essence. It basically means what is necessary for existence. What is essential? That is necessary for existence. You've got to have it to exist. You've got to have it. And they did understand this thing about essential, that it's not just essential for our physical needs. But they understood there were certain things that were essential for our emotional needs. For President Trump said several times, suicide's going to increase. They've already showed suicide worldwide has increased. Domestic abuse of children and spouses has increased. People in this country were getting stories of ex-husbands that have shot ex-wives because they didn't get their money over a dollar bill. And they knew that there's certain people that are essential to the emotional needs of others. Well, thank the Lord for some that believe that every man has a spirit in him. And man is made of body, soul, and spirit. There is an emotional need. There is a physical need. But there is a spiritual need. These things are essential to our existence. You see, we can't live without them. You can't make it. It literally means, now listen to this, the ingredients which give something its particular character. The ingredients which give something its particular character. You know what I was? I didn't grow up in church like some of you did. I didn't grow up in that environment. I grew up around a lot of drinking and a lot of smoking and a lot of gambling and a lot of cussing. And that's all I knew. Just like my little daughter can play a piano, I played a guitar back then in a country band. And I didn't know. My little daughter never played anything but gospel songs on the piano. That's what she did. And my little children grew up. And there was no liquor in our refrigerator. And there was no gambling at our kitchen table, not with my kids. But when I grew up, I didn't get that growing up. And so what it was, but can I tell you, it was because of preaching, old-fashioned preaching, that made me a new creature in Christ Jesus, that changed what I was. I didn't know the song Amazing Grace. I didn't go to the church to hear Amazing Grace. I went down there because something had happened in me and I wanted to listen to preaching. And preaching made me a new creature. And preaching has developed me to a new man. Preaching took the gambling away. Preaching took the cussing away. Preaching took the sin away. It's essential. Now let me tell you this. I said earlier some were just on the edge. And I've been preaching. The reason I said I've been preaching 40 years is because of this. Some mornings, it might rain all week. It might be winter time. And I don't know about you, but there's still that old nature in me. And there's some Sunday mornings and I'm even the preacher and have to preach that morning. And I got my message and I'm ready for the glory to fall. And I walk outside and it is beautiful like today. And my spiritual mind goes, if I wasn't preaching, I'd probably be fishing.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Now, come on now.
Yes, sir, you're right.
There's a lot of Sundays, if you'll be honest. Now, once you get here, it's good. And you look forward to it. It don't take but one time for you to say, honey, will you fix me an egg this morning? And her to say, fix it yourself. You ain't helpless. For all your excitement of going to church just went out the door. But you come anyway, don't you? So if we that are faithful struggle at times, then what about those that try on the edge? You see, the world, the devil knows that preaching is essential to save a home. The devil knows preaching is essential to save a sinner. So if he can stop preaching, he can stop the most necessary thing in the lives of any person. As I began to think about this, if something is essential, then it is something that is a must to exist for the purpose it was created. My wife does these essential oils. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but if I chop my arm off, she say, put oil on it. She just thinks it heals everything. Sometimes they work well. She does these essential oils, and I looked it up, and it says the essential oils are what makes up the character of the plant, what gives its aroma. It is necessary for its being. You see, there's medicinal uses for roses. There's over 1,800 different types of roses on this planet. They're one of the most medicinal plants on the planet, and the oils to be derived, but you would never be able to see the color of the rose. You would never smell the aroma of the rose if it was not for the essential oil that it produces. And you see, we need that essential oil. And preaching pours the oil on the preacher, on the believer, and on the sinner, that draws them closer to the Savior. I can't preach all of these this morning. I'm going to give you the five. I guess I have to do a series, but I want to get to the last one. First of all, I thought on things that are essential. It's vital to minding your existence. We are not that creature that He's made us without it. First of all, prayer is essential. It's essential. The Bible says only some things come by fasting and praying. You can't obtain certain things. You can't exist without prayer. Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint. Not only is prayer essential, but praise is essential to the believer. Oh, that's why the people of God need to come together and sing praise unto Him. Psalm 148:14 says it like this: He also exalteth the horn of His people, the praise of all His saints. Now watch this. He exalteth the praise of all His saints. In difficult times, I hope you're not made up like I am. I do good in difficult times for about 5 days. Then I've had enough. Then I start griping and complaining and live like an individual that has no hope. But what a tremendous time we have to say to the world, He was God before a virus. He'll be God after a virus. He's still on His throne. He took care of me then. I'm about to have a running fit. He'll take care of me now. And He's already took care of tomorrow. Praise is essential. Peter said, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him that had called you out of darkness unto His marvelous light. That's what we exist for. It's essential to you and me to praise. There's a person that is praised and is essential. There's an essential person, for in Him we live and move and have our being. Wait a minute. If essential means what is necessary for our existence, and the Bible said in Him we live and move and have our being, our existence. Now I thought about this. No matter how much they lock us down, they can't lock prayer down. They can't lock praise down. They can't lock this person that lives in us down. But here's what is necessary to our existence. It can be locked down as it was in the days of the Dark Ages. There's a place that is essential. A place. The Bible says, forsaking not the assembling together of ourselves. So if we don't assemble, we're forsaking something that God said not to. The Lord told Peter, Peter, now upon this rock I build my church, my ecclesia, my assembly. He said, I'm going to build something where I gather people together. My people. I want you to listen to this verse in Revelation. Revelation 22:16. We're now at the close of time as we know it here, and about to enter in, or have entered into that great, that millennial age. But Jesus closes the book as he's given this vision to John of the revelation. Jesus closing out this message to John now, and he says this, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel, or my preacher, or my pastor, or my messenger, to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. Where does he send his messenger to? These things in the churches.
Yes,
so you see, the church is essential to our existence. It's where he sends his message.
Yes,
oh yeah, we can proclaim it out there. You can preach it on the streets. There's something about this assembly that he said must come together, and then he'll show up.
Yes.
And he'll give the man of God the message. But I want you to see this, and I'll have to really go fast now. Of those things, you can shut down the assembly. Oh, but that's dangerous, for it's essential to who we are and what we are and him to us. And you can shut down preaching or try. And preaching is essential. I want you to see something. The word preacher is mentioned 11 times in the Bible. 7 in the Old Testament, all 7 times in the book of Ecclesiastes. And only 4 times in the New Testament, the word preacher. The word preach is mentioned 50 times in the Bible. The word preached, E-D, is mentioned 61 times in the Bible. The word preaching is mentioned 27 times in the Bible. And the word preacheth is mentioned 3 times in the Bible. And the word preach or preacheth or preaches is mentioned 151 times in the Bible. And I put a little note when I saw that preacher. I put, out of the 151 times, the man preacher is only mentioned 11 times. So it's not about the man. It's about the preaching.
Yes,
I just wanted to declare unto you today that preaching is essential to who we are. You see, preaching is essential, and preaching is mysterious. You see, they can't understand us. They don't understand why we need it. It's a mystery to those that don't know him as their Savior. It confuses them. Why those crazy preachers? Why those foolish preachers? Why Hollywood hates what we do? The sinner hates what we do. The harlot hates what we stand and preach. The drunkard hates what we stand and preach. The barroom hates what we stand and preach. The drug lord hates what we stand and preach. It's a mystery to them that you, what they would consider ignorant, backwards, Walmart shoppers. Where's Hillary at now when Walmart's doing all the feeding? That was free of charge and online. You see, a mystery is something that is influential and intriguing, even though it's unseen or not understood. You see, they may not understand what we're doing. They may not quite see what you and I see. But can I tell you, I can't explain it. And Paul said, I've been there and I can't describe it. It's called that third heaven. I know we didn't physically leave his ground like I think the Apostle Paul did. We did not see streets of gold, but every now and then, that blessed Spirit of God would just pour out just a little bit of taste of what's going on the other side. I don't see it with these eyes. I don't see it with my vision. But boy, something down inside me makes me something that I have no idea what it is, but I just go, wow, glory. It's mysterious, even to me sometimes. Sometimes I look around, blessed Holy Ghost of God will get real, place will get all excited. I mean, I just go, whoo. I remember we were in Romania, and the Lord slipped in that little living room. My wife was there. Others were there. About 25 of us was there. And Judy's not like me. She's a little bit more quiet. She's a little more laid back. She might shed a tear a little bit. But me, I just get on nutty. And I mean, preacher, we were just there and we were singing a song. And the blessed Holy Ghost of God decided, I'm just going to blow in there while they're praising Him. And that place got cloudy. I can't explain it. I just don't know. It was mysterious, but it's just a blessed calmness of His presence filled that room. I looked over at my wife, and all she could do was back up to the wall and go. She dropped her mouth and looked around. Ladies were weeping. Men were weeping. Dr. Ron Garris, I served on a staff 18 years. I don't know of a man more consistently loved the Savior, loved prayer, and loved sinners consistently. He lived and breathed and drawn it. The most godly preacher I've ever met, fiery preacher from the pulpit. He came over and grabbed me by the arm, weeping after years of preaching. He said, Brother Ricky, in all my Christian life, I've never seen Him come in like He's come in tonight. Can I tell you, aren't you thankful that God has a place for you and me, and God can use the preaching, and He can pour His anointing, His preacher, and the blessed Holy Ghost of God can blow through your soul. See, preaching is mysterious in its announcement. It's mysterious in its acclamation. It's mysterious in its anointing. I can't explain why I feel like a three-quarter heathen sometimes. My temper has got beside me. Me and Judy's gotten a fuss. I know, but you get married 40 years, and you'll learn to fuss. Hang in there if you hadn't done it yet. Wait a minute. And I think, preach, I'm not worthy to go there. I see some dear old saint of God come to an altar before I preach, and they're weeping and crying, and pastors will lean over and say, boy, that lady, that man right there knows how to get in touch with God, and then I want to crawl under a pew. But oh, and then get up knowing in me dwelleth no good thing. And he pour out oil anyway. Because it's not about the preacher. Jonah, you go preach. The outline I've already written for you. Jonah, you just go and you put that your message up that you're going to go skin the hides and judge Nineveh. That's my job, Jonah. You go preach what I tell you to preach, because if you preach what you're going to preach, it ain't pouring out. Oh, but if you'll just say, Lord, I can't do it. Lord, I'm just a failure. Lord, it's not me. Can I tell you, that's what your grandchildren need. That's what your children need. That's what your sinner friend needs, is the anointing of the presence of the Holy Ghost of God on the preaching. It's essential. It's mysteriously essential. Preaching is not only mysterious, but it's motivational. Just listen to these four verses. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The power of God. Boy, that amazes me, because the world says they're foolish. But the very thing that spoke all things into existence, that sent a worldwide flood, one day the heavens, these heavens and earth will pass away because of His power, the world calls foolish. Oh, but to us, we're moved by its power. It's motivational. It's the power of God. The Bible said, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of the world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Hey, it's motivational for those that want to make the world's wisdom their guide. And all that education is essential. It's good for you. I've been to a few colleges myself. It's good for you. It'll advance you in some ways. But can I tell you, my father-in-law, my wife's dad, was a very, very successful businessman. Hard worker, built two or three different businesses. And preacher, he quit school in the sixth grade. I can tell you hundreds of cases. Do I think you ought to have a better, you better. You better learn how to use a computer or you'll be like me, way behind. I believe it, but can I tell you, more essential to who you are and what you are and what moves you ought to be preaching. Thirdly, preaching is magnificent. It's a magnificent thing. As I was doing my devotion, I wrote these down. Preaching told me. Boy, it's magnificent. For preaching told me condemnation was my status. The curse was my sentence. The cross was my sufficiency. Conviction led me to surrender. Christ was my solution. And the church is my sanctuary. Boy, in preaching, magnificent. It was preaching. I wasn't doing the preaching. But it was preaching. The night my oldest son at 8 years of age walked down and knelt at the altar. And our pastor of many years was preaching. And I got up and I walked down. And wanting to be very careful with an 8-year-old boy, I said, "Son, how can I pray for you?" He said, "Daddy, I need to be saved." So I said, "Son, why do you need to be saved?" He said, "Daddy, because I'm just a sinner like everybody else." He started crying. He said, "Daddy, I'll go to hell if I don't get saved." And the preacher told me tonight that because of Adam, I'm a sinner. He didn't say that he was living in drunkard life at 8 years old. But he knew that day, that morning at that altar, that because of Adam's sin, he was a sinner. He had come to an age of acknowledgement. He understood. He understood that hell was destined for those that did not know Christ as his Savior. And I said, "Son," he could read quite well at 8 years of age. And I took my Bible and I opened it up and I said, "You've heard Daddy tell these scriptures many times, but I'm going to show them to you one more time." And I took the Bible and I showed him. And my little boy, I said, "You got to pray. I can't pray for you. I can't even tell you what to do, son." That little 8-year-old boy, he said, "Lord, the preacher told me tonight. And Lord, I know that I was born a sinner. And Lord, I beg you tonight, will you forgive me of my sin and come into my heart and save me?" And my boy was gloriously saved. And he's never doubted it. And he's never veered from it. And he never stopped from it. He'll tell you today, that day I got gloriously born again into the family of God. Can I tell you something? That all three of my children were saved. They heard preaching. And can I tell you, my little granddaughter is now saved at 9 years of age because she heard preaching. And can I tell you, I declare that preaching is magnificent and essential. Yes, lastly, and I'll close out. Look in Luke chapter 4 real quick and we'll close. Luke chapter 4. It's essential. Luke chapter 4. Fourthly, I want you to know that preaching is a medicine. Preaching is a medicine and essential to our being. Luke chapter 4, verse number 18. Listen to what your Bible says. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to do what? To preach the gospel to the poor. And he hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to recover to the recovering of the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. You see, there's medicine to heal a broken heart. There's medicine that delivers and sets the captive free. It'll deliver you from that captured you in your past and present and future. That's the addiction program in the Bible. Just sit under preaching. Oh, preacher, I've tried to quit, but I go back. But just sit under preaching. When I was a youth pastor, I used to tell the teenagers, listen, you're going to mess up. What? I said, yeah. I was a teenager. You're going to mess up. And then I'd tell them this, but I can't help you if you don't come to church.
Yes, sir. Yep.
You're going to struggle, but just stay faithful.
Amen.
And do you know out of that group, preacher, and I'll tell the story, and I have to be done because of time, but I'll tell this story. When I was a youth pastor, I'd been praying for this little group of 8 kids, all Christian kids, boys, girls, and I was praying for them, Lord, do something, do something. I took them to a large youth conference in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Central Baptist Church. 2,500 teenagers came from all over the nation back then and gathered in, and all week great preachers preached. Over 3,000, 3,500 with adults packed in that place. We were there, and altar call would go, none of my kids go to altar. Next preacher preaching, none of my kids go to the altar. Finally, the last day, one or two trickled in, and I thought, okay, Lord, that's all I know to do. I don't know what to do for these kids. I've done all I can do. I don't know, Lord. We got in a van, started from Baton Rouge back towards where we were from, about 3.5 hours in a church van. We didn't quite get out of Baton Rouge, and the kid said, Brother Ricky, can we go to the mall? I said, the mall? I'm already discouraged. They're heathens. They didn't go to the altar. Okay, we'll go. We got just outside the doors of the mall, preacher, and those 8 kids surrounded me. They began to weep, and they reached in their pocket, and they took out several gospel tracts they had taken from the church, and they said, Brother Ricky, teach us the soul win. Show us how. See, what I looked for at the altar, God was doing in them. We went back to that little country church of about 80 people, and those kids lit on fire. Within a year, they had brought over 100 teenagers in, saved. I didn't lead a one of them to the Lord. The kids did. And out of that group were 8 preachers and several preachers' wives that came out of that little group simply because God poured out some medicine on a group of kids, captured them for His glory. I declare unto you in this world of what is essential, preaching is essential to our being.